When I reach the ravine, Anne and Pippa are poised on the edge, breathing hard. The deer is nowhere to be seen. A great chunk of earth wall has been torn away. Carefully, I scoot to the edge. My boots send showers of dirt and rocks into the ravine, and I have to grab hold of a low-lying root to keep from falling in. The deer lies wounded at the bottom, struggling to lift its head, making the most awful sounds. Felicity crouches low, creeps closer. She leans over it, stroking the brown fur, making comforting, shushing noises. She's not going to do it. A feeling of relief floods through me as I wait for her to scramble up the embankment. The clouds shift, stretch out thin as a scream. The moon's dazzling us with its hard, fair light. It bathes Felicity in a white like plaster, turns her into a statue frozen in time. She's fumbling with something down there in the dark. In an instant, her hand flies up. She brings the rock down with a sickening thud. And again, till there's nothing moving in the ravine but her and creatures too small to detect from where we stand above her. Slowly, Anne and Pippa scuttle down the slope in crab-like movements and each take their turns with the rock. Their bare backs, arched and taut, shine in the night. When they move away, the thing at the bottom of the ravine no longer resembles a deer above the neck. The head is pulpy, an overripe melon fallen on the ground and split open in surprised outrage. I turn and vomit into a sparse bush. When I stagger over again, they're crawling back up the steep slope on hands and knees. In the dark, the splattered blood looks black as ink on their alabaster skin. Felicity climbs up last. She still grips the blood-slick rock in her hand. "It's done," she says, her voice ripping the still of the night. "This is how the fire starts. This is how we burn. Everything's slipping out of my control." She places the rock in my hand. The weight of it pulls me forward and I stumble. It's sticky in my hand. "What happens now?" Anne asks. In the dark, there is no answer. Just a slight breeze rustling through the dry leaves over our heads.
"We hold hands and make the door of light appear," Felicity says.
They join hands and close their eyes, but nothing happens. "Where is it?" Pippa asks. "Why don't I see it?" For the first time this evening, Felicity seems lost.
"She promised me."
"It hasn't worked. They've been tricked. I would feel sorry for them if I weren't both relieved and appalled."
"She promised,"
Felicity whispers. Kartik steps a foot into the clearing, stops when he takes us in, blood-stained and half-wild. He takes a step back, ready to retreat, but not before Felicity sees him.
"What are you doing here?" she screams.
Kartik doesn't answer. Instead, his eyes flit to the rock in my hand. I drop it fast, and it hits the earth with a thud. In that one instant of distraction, Felicity seizes her chance. Grabbing a sharp stick, she charges Kartik, scraping him across the chest. Blood seeps up through the torn shirt, and he doubles over from the sudden surprise of the gash. Her new skill as an archer is on display. She's got the stick poised, ready to run him through.
"I told you we'd carve your eyes out the next time," she growls.
I had thought Felicity to be dangerous a moment ago when she felt powerful. I was wrong. Wounded and powerless, she is more dangerous than I could imagine. Injured, Kartik is unable to defend himself for the moment.
"Stop!" I shout. "Let him go, and I'll take you into the realms."
Felicity's panting, the stick still raised above his eyes.
"Fee!"
Pippa whines, sounding a bit scared herself.
"She's going to take us."
Slowly, Felicity releases him, saunters back to join us.
"She'll give us the power once we're there," she says, trying to save face. "I'm sure of it."
On the ground behind her, Kartik's face is worried. I give him a small nod to let him know it's going to be all right, though I don't know that. I have no idea what will greet us on the other side of that door now. I don't know what they've started, if anything. I only know that I've got to do it. Felicity gives me a hard look. Things have changed forever. There's no going back. I follow them into the woods so that they can dress again. Soon they are ready. Take my hands, I say, hoping for the best, fearing the worst.